Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Tom Bubba Horwitz, and man, we got a lot of stuff to go over, but I also had a plan. Oh my God, we'll talk about this tomorrow, but Jeffrey Lackert from the Fed giving out inside information. We got a lot to go over, but you'll have to wait till tomorrow, because today we're going to do some education, and I want to get it while it's still fresh. Here is the Monday night webinar from this week. Here we go, Monday night. Let's go.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to Monday night with me, Bubba, and great to be here. And of course, and just buy everything. Just, you know, amazing, an amazing market. You know, it's always fun to watch, and you know, it's like today they look like they were gonna. You know, I thought actually when I wrote earlier this morning, I thought, well, you know, they should be a little bit higher. You know, usually the first day of the month they'd be a little higher. And then they started selling off and they broke. And I go, okay, maybe this is, maybe we're going to, maybe the top is in. And then, of course, when we got down to the bottom, they decided that, you know, they no longer wanted to go down. And of course, you know, I think that what was really interesting, and I think what was really good, okay, and I think what supports my overall theory is the action that we had and the amount of movement that we had, because this is one of the biggest days in total range in quite a while. So to me, that's a good sign. All right. And my buddy, I know today you went live today. How'd you do, big boy? I hope you were trading at about 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock Eastern time. So again, there's a lot of things going on in the markets, and you know, hey, you know, we know, even though I think that the top is in, okay, it doesn't mean that it's going to go straight down. There's going to be some action and some activity. And of course, that's what we have to be prepared for. And you know, if you guys want to be more prepared, you can tune me in every day at 2 to 3 on libertytalk.fm. That's my radio show. And believe it or not, my Bubba's Bottom Line podcast is going to start playing on Roku. So, you know me, I have fun. I'm a big ham anyway. So, you know, they always ask me, do you want to talk? I said, how much you want me to talk? But as we start out every call, we always talk about the words of wisdom from our friend Connie. And today's words are, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. You know, and that's kind of true, right? I mean, you know, basically, you know, we have to always try to break everything down to the easiest and the simplest denomination. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we try to do all the time. And, you know, sometimes we get, you know, sometimes I get a little bit over complex, but, you know, try to always breaking it down. And I really learned my lesson when I started my high school program. Because, you know, I'd go there and I'd teach, and I actually taught it myself for a couple of years. And I'd go in and I'd teach, and, you know, I kept having to lower and lower and lower because of obviously the interest in things that people do. But so, yeah, it's we try to make it and break it down to very simple. I'm not interested in real complicated. I'm a pretty simple guy myself, so I don't like to get overly complicated. I don't like things to be, you know, too crazy. It does take repetition is correct. I mean, you know, I believe in a lot of what we call redundancy. You know, I think that's important to learn, which is why, you know, the classes that I do on futures and hedging, I let you come back more than once at no charge, because you can't possibly learn everything I'm trying to get to you in one course. It takes time to repeat. you know, because there's a lot of important things that we get to. And by the way, we are trading live on Friday for those in the futures class. We will trade the jobs number. And another staple of Monday nights, of course, is Bubba's Bitch, right? And, you know, I don't know. I have so many I have so many things to bitch about. And from a, not in life, I mean, and just in, around. And I can't stand the banks that continue to call for this thing to rally when I know for a fact that they're shortening up the yin-yang, okay? I mean, I know for a fact that the banks have the largest position in history in short Dow futures. I know they have their biggest position in history in VIX futures. So why are they recommending to be bullish? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I really find that pretty distasteful. In fact, I was tweeting one of the hosts today of one of the shows, and they were pretty bullish and wacko as well. And I kept saying, you know, you guys just keep talking, you keep chirping it up, and you know, all you're doing is trapping the innocent right now. It should be Bubba's Bitch. And you're right. Well, listen, you know, that's why I got my radio show, so I can go longer. All right. You know, what can I tell you? But yeah, I know I got you going for me, and maybe you'll come and fly me around someday. You'll come pick me up. You know, you were one of my many pilots that I've worked with for over the while. So anyways, so markets today, you know, they're down a little bit, but you know, 13 points, right? 20,650. We thought that we would be a seller at 20,800. Look at that. Like we knew what we were doing. All right. We got to 20,753. And of course, we thought 20,400 was a potential buy spot. Again, I'm not really a happy buyer here. I'm not literally looking for a place to buy here. But I do believe that, you know, certainly those who want to, it's certainly not a bad idea. You can certainly go ahead and join in and try to catch, you know, any rally that's going to come. I mean, I do believe that the tops are in my opinion, and basically so far, the way that I scripted it a few weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was a while ago. As I said, the first thing we needed to see was a blow off top. All right. So here on March 1st, to me, this looks like a blow off top. Okay. Now, whether it is or not, I don't know, but that to me looked like the top of the market. That's March 1st. So then I said what would happen is we wanted to see what would happen on the subsequent rallies. Well, we've seen lower highs and then another lower high now. So to me, this has got all the indications that the top of the market's in. Again, it doesn't mean that we're going straight down. You know, just because I think there's a top doesn't mean that we're going down to a bear market. There are still going to be plenty of buyers. All right. There's still going to be plenty of dip buyers. This is the key. All right. What we want to take advantage of is the dip buyers when they come back at resistance. So I would use again 20,800 as resistance, and I think that 20,400 is probably still a spot for those of you who want to buy, could step in and buy. It's certainly a realistic spot. It's certainly based on the footprint, you could certainly buy there. And so. I have no problem. I mean, again, I will not be purchasing there because, again, I use my long bullets for just individual equities. You know, I'd rather look to be short the major indexes. But at the end of the day, you know, we're doing exactly what I thought we would do. So let's see if it'll follow through. But remember, you'll get some vicious rallies if this is indeed.
And one of the things we talk about is if this is indeed the top, you will get some vicious rallies on the sell-offs, but we're going to have to step out of here for a break. We're going to come back after the break on this Wednesday, April the 5th. My goodness. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. And of course, Bubba's Bottom Line at bubbatrading.com. We're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Monday call after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we're playing the Monday Night Call. And tomorrow we're going to talk about Jeffrey Lacker. Anyways, let's get back to the Monday Night Call. Here we go.
If the top is in, then you will get some rallies that are vicious, that look unbelievable. And those are more of a footprint telling you that the markets are actually in a downward spiral now or downward trend, because that will, because the speed and the power in which they go up with is not because you have people buying strength. You have people that are puking out because they're stuck short again. And that's, you can expect a number of those. And if this is correct, you can still expect it. Now, the key will always be, is did it take out the previous high? And if it did it take it out by a lot? So, again, as long as we can stay, you know, not going wacko and not making new highs, then I would consider that you'd want to be more of a seller. So this, in my opinion, would be more of a sell the rally versus a buy the dip market right now.
No, I'm just kidding. Remember, I called you specifically.
The S&P's. You're a Papa X-ray. Same pattern. All right. Now, here we thought that 2370, 2380 was the number. And, of course, we got to 2370. All right. And, again, it's not like it was a monster winner. But, again, it's more about identifying the pattern, adjusting yourself to go, and being prepared. All right. And that is what we're trying to do. Again, understanding where you are in the market. Understanding where you are position-wise, understanding what the market is thinking is one of the most important things you can do. Now, it will not make you right all the time, but it will certainly give you the upper hand in what's next. And, of course, somebody said the QQQs never stop, and, of course, the NASDAQ has been. Now, remember, when we identified this as the strongest index, was quite a while ago, and it still is pretty strong. Now, we're certainly up here at the upper level. We thought that if you were going to sell it somewhere around the 59, 50 level would have been a spot to take a stab at it. And somewhere around the 58, 57, 50 level would be a chance to buy it. And, of course, that still looks to be the case. It has not been able to break down. Levels in the S&P, I don't know. I forgot. I didn't tell you. Well, we know 2380 is the ups. 2340, 2380. Nothing has really changed. Sorry. Here you've got like 57, 50, 58 to 59, 59, 50. Very strong, though. Again, much stronger than the rest of the indexes. And it's not, again, we're not, saying, we're just saying. I mean, you cannot fight, what you're certainly not going to sell something that is showing strength and showing the ability to still go up. You're looking to sell strength in something that looks weak.
I appreciate it.
The Russell, which would be like the Russell. Okay. Now, the Russell's been the weakest and remains the weakest. Look at the punishment in this thing. And really, again, we'd say 1390 on the upside. 1350 should be the first stop. And then we'd probably go lower. But, I think you can look at selling, 1390. And look for it to work its way down. Again, at 1350, you can look at it. Now, it's a little challenging because of the way they're trading these futures. I don't know if anybody traded those Russell futures today, but it was very hard to get out if you were with Thinkorswim, if you carried any over, which I did. And I don't know, they're pretty annoying, and they're pretty annoying as well. But anyways, it's what it is. But again, this is just in a big old consolidation, but trying to work its way lower. And, of course, it's been the weakest, and it typically leads, and it has nice big days, so it's all good. All right. We got our good friend crude oil. All right, so crude. Let me change this. 1 second. Let's put the right one up. All right, so we thought that crude would be a sale. Somewhere around 52 to 55. We haven't seen either of those. Of course, we had been selling it all along. And notice how it failed here at 51. Now, I don't know that it will not break up from here. I don't think that it will. But certainly, I would not be concerned unless it got through 53 to 55. I believe we're going much lower here, and we'll continue to look for spots to sell on rallies. In fact, I think that you're looking for, in my opinion, into the 40s before, and I'm not talking about the high 40s, I'm talking about the low 40s before I'd even think about buying this. And I think, one of the things you look at is you look at the whole picture, And not, we are not fundamental traders, but there is way too much supply. And of course, the other thing you've got is you've got too many people trying to wish it higher, you know, and they're comparing it to, you know, well, a strong oil makes for a strong market. And I go, I don't know how, you know, oil was $9 a barrel in the 90s. Somehow we managed to have a pretty big rally. So, you know, again, this is, there's a lot of poppycock that goes on in these conversations and when they're trying to direct traffic. I would say that right now, again, I would not mind selling it at 51. In fact, I did sell it at 50, close to 51 this morning. And I will sell it again. I mean, I covered already, but I will sell it again around that 51 level. And I will sell it up all the way till 55. And then if I have to puke out, I'll have to, you know, make that decision then. I will look for this to go lower, but right now you can look at 47. Obviously, is some reasonable support. So we'd say 51 to 47, knowing that it's been we've been pretty much en fuego on this and been right on top of it, and we'll continue to do so. Gold. And there was a question about gold, which is why I waited. The question on gold was, where were you, big boy? How will gold respond to these rallies? Well, again, gold itself, there's another story going on with gold, okay? The story is very simple, all right? The war on cash is helping propel gold higher, all right? The wanting to eliminate cash is good for the cryptocurrencies and good for gold and silver. The rallies will not affect gold whatsoever. Gold is, you know, gold is not a fair play, as they like you to believe on TV. Gold is a commodity that acts like a currency that if you're concerned about the currency, you would consider buying or making a play in gold, okay? But it's not something that's going to protect you. God forbid the markets collapse, all right? It will protect you if the currency collapses, but not the stock market. And that's the difference. Gold is more of a currency like silver. You know, silver's got a dual usage, but because of the war on cash and the countries are starting to try to eliminate real money, because the more they can eliminate, the more they can manipulate without you really know what the hell they're doing. So, but anyways, back to gold. It looks like 1260, some resistance is 1200. Now, it looks like it's made a new support level here around 1245. So we're pretty narrow here. I would not want to be, I'm not a seller, all right, but I'm really not a buyer here either. I'm really more of a neutral. I'm a longer term buyer in gold. And certainly if you were said to me, hey, I'm going to buy some gold that I'm going to put away, I'm going to hold, you can buy some here, all right, because you're going to buy more either lower or higher. But if you're trying to trade it, I don't know that there's really a trade here. I think that, you know, based on the chart, you'd want to be a seller around 1260. However, the range has become so narrow that I'd be afraid that we'd get a quick spring back. So I needed to stretch out a little bit before I'd want to get in. But it is really, you know, 12 to 1260. But now with this new consolidation pattern working in here, very narrow range. And I don't think really worth the trade from this point. So we'll let it sit. We'll call it neutral. But the range, the levels will be 1240, some support, but 1260, 1200, and then 1240 is some support in the middle there. Are we going to return to gold standard? No, we're never going to return to the gold standard, because if they do, they'd have to admit that they made a mistake with the Federal Reserve. You know, the problem is when your government has control of a private corporation, because that's what the Fed is. But they do things, you know, they break a lot of constitutional laws as well.
We'll come back and finish up with the Fed after the break. But this is Bubba, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. And, of course, love being here, and can't wait to talk about some of the things that are perking my mind tomorrow. But in the meantime, you can download the show at libertytalk.fm, the Bubba Show. And you can also get the Sporting Edge there. And don't miss my brand new Bubba's Bottom Line, available at BubbaTrading.com. We're going to stop by here for a break. We will be right back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz coming right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horde with you, and we're just playing a little Monday night stuff, and markets kind of suck, but I do think the top is in. But let's get back to Monday night. We're talking about the Fed and how they cheat. Here we go.
With what they do. But in the meantime, they're never going to want to go back to the gold standard, because then they have to have proof that they have something. And we've already got issues, which I'm going to go over into a bit later, but I mean, you got, you know, they don't have the gold standard because it doesn't create, it slows down the printing press. And that would be obviously a problem for the central banks. God forbid they should have to not be able to print money for the debt ceiling. The gold is gone. Are we going to return to go in, or is there gold in Fort Knox? You know what? I would say this, okay? Whatever we think there's in gold, there ain't as much as we think. And I would bet, my opinion, that the gold ETFs, there's not enough gold to back them, to back all that they're selling. That's just my opinion. No fact, no basis of fact behind it. All right. The dollar, Delta X-ray Yankee. All right. So here we are breaking. And again, I'm continuing to call for the low 90s. We got a nice little dead cat bounce. Not a surprise. You know, we thought we would get some sort of a bounce. I thought we'd be a seller around 90, 99.50 or so. We kind of went through there, which is fine. I think 101 is a great spot to sell it. I don't see much higher than that. I think you're seeing it starting to work lower. I think it continues to work lower because, again, they want the dollar lower anyways. So, you know, why not, you know, go ahead and give them what they want, which is what they're trying to get to, so they can, you know, in theory, export more goods. And, of course, the euro currency, look, we didn't quite sneak up to where we wanted to. Obviously, we wanted to be a seller about 110. You got the 109.50. We're coming down. Now, I think you might find that this will probably hold right around here. This would be a pretty high-risk play at 107.5 or 107. I would not make that play in this market, but I would be looking for a spot to buy here. And I do think we're going to take one more run at the highs here. And you could look here. I mean, I'd look at 106.50 if we can get a little bit more of a sell-off. You know, I think that'd be all right to buy. And then I think you get one more rally, and then I think you might kiss the euro goodnight. And, of course, the British pound, as we said, is going to continue to run. Now, notice how it ran into a little bit of trouble, broke, but look what happened, rallying right back up again. I think that, again, you can't really be a buyer here. I think you got to just watch it, but certainly a buyer at 124, 123. And if it can break out, we'll have to find a new level to buy on the way up. I think it is going higher, but we'll look for a spot. And I'm certainly not looking to be selling this right here, because I think that they've already taken out basically what they're going to do here. So I think it works its way much higher. And for those who own that 6B, FXB, you know, it looks pretty good. Again, you know, you can hold it or sell it and try to buy it back later. And of course, the VIX, you know, interesting. Now, what we predicted, we said that we'd get a big move out of here, and we did, but we didn't really follow. And we're now just kind of chirping around here and churning. However, we did hold the bottoms. All right. We held the lows in gold in the VIX. All right. So, you know, to me, it looks like there is an attempt to see some more volatility. We saw a little bit in price action today. You saw a little bit in price action on Friday. So, you know, is it going to be? Well, we can only hope so. I mean, you know, we don't want ridiculously high volatility. What we want is we want trending higher volatility, which gives us a market that gives us trade. Because again, volatility happens to be the most forgiving thing that you can get. Besides, India and China have cornered the supply. Well, I'm not, you know, again, China, but, you know, Russia has a lot of gold too. There's a lot of places that have a lot of gold. You know, we only hear about India and China. All right. But, okay. So, again, I look for us to, you know, hopefully we can continue to rally. And again, we don't need a monster. I don't want a spike and a collapse. I want to pick up volatility. I want it to pick up as we go. All right. Because it will have a crescendo and it will come back down again. I mean, if you look just at a historical view of the volatility, you know, you can see that it, most of the time it hovers, you know, at lower levels, but then you get these moves up, and which gives you a great opportunity. And that's always what we're trying to find out and find those spots, because that's when markets give you the most amount of opportunity. Because as I've said many times before, volatility is the great forgiver. It allows you to make a bad trade and come back. All right. So maybe the recovery wasn't real after all. And of course, you know, there's this whole debate on GDP and predictions and what's going on. And we all know, okay, that the last administration, and I don't care if you like them or not, it's not, this is not a question of the competence or whatever. This is a question of exactly what happened. We did not have any growth for 8 years, all right? We have a horrible GDP. We have horrible jobs, all right? And now, you know, everybody's betting and banking on Trump to do something, but you can already see the problems, all right? You can always see the problems. Again, that's the problem with the political system, is all of a sudden we're not, are we going to be able to get to the point where we can get real growth? And, you know, right now we're having trouble. We couldn't get the health care bill through. Now, I don't know if it was good or not. Again, I don't know anything about, you know, I didn't read it, so I wouldn't know. But you have issues that have to be dealt with. Now, will we get these things through? And will Trump be able to get the things he wants to get through? And that includes his own party as well. That's the problem. In the meantime, the 4% growth in GDP they're talking about is at least 2 years off. At least. I mean, you know, unless you get a miracle with, you know, with an agricultural product. All right. Now, bull markets, you know, if you've heard the Templeton, the John, Sir John, was it Templeton? What's his name? I have a hell if I can remember. Templeton's his last name. But, you know, bull markets are born on pessimism and whatever. And they end in optimism. And of course, what are we seeing right now? You know, every piece of news, every commentator is saying, hey, buy, buy, buy. You know, Cramer, buy, buy, buy. And I'm just saying, hey, I'm not telling you not to buy. I'm just telling you that the probability is when markets buy on every reason, when markets only know how to go up, when no matter what, they continue to rally. Now, we rallied for 8 years based on cheap money in the Fed. We've got an extremely extended valuation from a fundamental standpoint. You've got every commentator telling you to buy. You've got every stock advisor telling you to buy. I've not heard one guy say, hey, maybe you should be careful here. All right. Now, again, I'm not telling you that the end is over. I'm just saying that when every piece of item news comes to buy, that's usually pretty close to nearing an end. And we're not predicting the market's going to break. We're just saying, hey, be a little careful. Now, we talked about those last week, but autos are in trouble. Now, I don't know if you saw the reports today, but they got creamed. All right. But again, you know, the biggest problem we have in this country is the overall debt, all right? We've got more debt. Now, think about this for a minute, right? We've got more debt today than we had in the housing crisis, okay? Fact, not fiction, fact, all right? Now, what is the difference between today's debt? Now, the debt today combines student loans and auto. Okay. What is the difference between today's debt and the housing, the bubble debt, housing bubble debt? Anybody got a guess just out of curiosity? Because there is a definite difference. Sir John Templeton, thank you. All right. Well, I don't know if any of the guests or not, but I don't want to, obviously, I don't want to hold up the crowd. But buying a portrait, they gave me a $6,000 incentive. There you go. But the housing bubble, at least the houses might have been overinflated, but they were a hard asset. All right. The college debt is no asset at all. Okay. Unless you can imprison the people that owe the money, right? And then you don't get paid back. And the autos are depreciable. They depreciate and they get old. So you have more debt today with less asset to back it than you had then. Okay. And that doesn't count all the debt that these corporations have accumulated in order to buy back their stock and do other things. So we're not pricing in a lot of these things because, again, this time is different. We're just going up. There's nothing to think about. But that's what I think about. All right, again, we talked about this GDP crapola. Started talking about it.
And, you know, we're going to come back and finish this off. But, you know, there's so many things that we have to be concerned about in markets and in trading. And of course, this ridiculous run up now in stocks like Tesla and Amazon are really just, again, this is, you go back and look in history, you'll see a lot of this stuff. I mean, I think there's a crisis ahead. And again, overall, long term, the markets will be fine. The economy will be fine. But you cannot keep doing the same thing over and over again. And of course, according to Albert Einstein, and expect a different result. I think that creates a lot of issues, and I think that's one of the problems, but that's why we're kind of airing this, so you can kind of hear what I'm thinking about, where I'm coming from. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, you can download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm, and of course, you get the Sporting Edge there as well, and Xander's doing a great job with that, and of course, the brand new Bubba's Bottom Line is available at BubbaTrading.com. Make sure you check it out. And we'll be starting a new hedging and futures class in the next couple of weeks. So if you're interested, let me know. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we're playing a little Monday night action here, having some fun. And it's pretty good. So let's get back to Monday night right now. Here we go.
Are the markets set for a fall? And of course, I will say yes. Now, I've said yes for a while. You know, in full disclosure, it's not, I'm not like, you know, this is no revelation. I haven't been saying, but I always do say that one thing I will always say, and I'm always long the market. All right. Whether I'm short in the short term or not, my general position is always long. All right, because I'm never selling my IRAs, my SEPs, and everything else that I have. So, but is there a crisis? I mean, I would think there'd be a crisis coming pretty soon, and that's what I continue to say, is that there'll be an event that we don't have any idea what it is yet that will create the market sell-off, because the market are going to sell off. Now, how deep are they going to sell off? Hell if I know. I mean, my opinion is that we're going to see 1562. That's the number I've been looking for a while. All right. So from here, from 2,300, that's about what, the 28% or something like that. So, I mean, that's what I would see. But again, even if I'm correct, it's not going to happen in a day. It's not going to happen tomorrow. There's plenty of trade between now and then. And that's why I don't like to make these big calls right now. I can see, you know, 2340 and maybe 2320. And maybe below there, but we're not looking for that. But is there a crisis? Yeah, of course there's a crisis. We're in too much debt. We've got too many problems. We've got too many things going on. And there's no prospects of it improving in the near future. You know, the jobs aren't going to get any better. Now, here's another one. Everybody looks at construction spending. All right. Fell. Now, is that a problem? You can look at it any way you want. But when you look at the overall exuberance in the market, when you look at the consumer confidence numbers, you look at everything telling you that we can only go up because this is the way it is. We're looking at how good these numbers are. Do you realize that when everybody gets to one side, what usually happens? That's what you should be thinking about, right? It's like in 2008, our kids all went to Washington, D.C., eighth grade trip, right? I was in a Starbucks after we dropped the kids off at 5 in the morning, and there's all these guys from the North Shore of Chicago, you know, all successful businessmen, and they're all green because the markets are collapsing. And I go, what's wrong, you guys? Because don't you know what's going on in the market? I said, yeah, it's time to buy. We should be buying here, not selling. All right. And that's really the point. All right. So now, and I'm not telling you not to buy. If you're investing through your 401k, you're investing in hedging, I would never tell you not to buy. But what I'm saying is that if you're not somebody who's protecting and you're not somebody who's hedging, this is probably not the best time to start putting in new money into the market. Because there's too many things that can go wrong. How much more do you think we're going to go before we see some selling? Of course, if you listen to Schmuck, this time is definitely different, decently different. I mean, what could possibly be different? What has changed in markets in 5,000 years? Nothing. Okay? Nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. There's not, the only thing that's different now, it would be things happen faster. But do we really think that this time is going to be different, that the markets are going to suddenly all of a sudden say, well, we can go up another 1,000% because this guy says it can be different this time? This is the problem that we always have. People get too depressed. They get too exuberant. They don't keep even keel. Fiat currency. Well, we've had fiat currency for 40 years. I mean, it hasn't changed the game. I mean, I don't see. Fed are idiots anyways. Okay. I mean, look, they're very smart people. All right. I'm not taking away their intelligence from a book learning standpoint, but from an actual running a business, from understanding free markets, from understanding how that works, they're absolute idiots. All right. You just listen to them talk once or twice about the free market. And I know most of you guys are entrepreneurs or like that. All right. And do things. You get the free market. Right. You know, if we did what the Federal Reserve does, if we did what the government does, we'd either be in bankruptcy court or in jail. All right. So we can't, you know, let's not kid each other. And here's their balance sheet. I mean, they put out $4.5 trillion in printing. OK, $4.5 trillion. Now, again, you have to look at that from a standpoint of where did that money go? Well, it went basically into thin air. It went into the banking system. It went into, you know, the bonuses. Okay. It went into some more fractional banking. I mean, again, that's a problem. You created $4.5 trillion and now they're begging for inflation. Now, why are they begging for inflation? Because so they can get taxes higher so that you and I can have higher property taxes and pay because we have an inflated asset. That's the model that they're playing. That's why you can continue to do that. And that's the problem here. Tesla surpasses Ford to become number two U.S. car maker by market value. Can you imagine that? Here's a company that can't make money. It has no prospect of making money. Beautiful car, though. All right. Can't make money. Has no prospect of making money. But yet, stocks at all-time highs. Can you bust? Think about that. Okay. Has no money and loses $5,000 a car, but they make it up in volume. They haven't made money since the tax credits are gone. Now you telling me that that's legit? I mean, again, I know the stock's up, and I know I want to short it, so I'm just saying that here you go. This is another warning sign that something is amiss. Something is amok. Okay. Central banks rethink the 2% inflation. Of course they want to rethink it because they need higher inflation because they have so much debt to get rid of. You know, again, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. And I don't like to, you know, I'm not a guy that talks down the markets or talks up the markets. I just kind of, you know, go along. But certain things are so ridiculous that when a group of 12 people have to control the fate of everybody by the way that they vote, Does that seem right to you? And out of the 12, none of them never worked a job. You know, they worked their way up through the system, through the education system, and through thesis and theories and all these ridiculous things that they refuse to adjust. I mean, you can't call a bubble now because, God forbid, 10 years from now, they'll tell you this is a bubble. And that's the point. that we look at. I mean, really, this is the kind of stuff that we have to put up with, that people that have no clue of how real life, how the real world actually works. And that's where the problems come in, because we have to understand real world. That's what the markets are really are. They're real world. Real world. So precursors to the 08 crisis. And what do we, let's compare these, the similarities. Failed stress tests. All right. Now, we don't have any failed stress tests now that we know about. But I'd bet you, I seriously would bet $1 million, okay, cash money, that 50% of the banks, if we had a legitimate test, could not pass. A legitimate test. That means no regulators playing funny business. Lending is still high. Well, we know we got that right now. And defaults are rising in the autos. So, and last but not least, all right, Goldman warns of risk underpriced amid lowest Q1 VIX level on record. All right, so, complacency. We all know what happens when we get too complacent. And here we are. And again, it doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. You know me, I'm not going to predict the end of the world. I'm just telling you that we're very complacent. There's a lot of reasons to believe that we could melt a little bit. And again, that doesn't mean that the markets, I mean, I'm a true believer in the market model, goes up 9% year over year.
Right. But they can melt, and that is something that we just, again, I don't want you to get panicked today. I'm just saying that, you know, markets themselves have a way of acting, and the way they're acting now is ridiculous. They are ignoring price, time, and anything that you would think of being logical, and just going to the moon. And again, I'm not saying they can't go higher. I'm just saying, be careful. Anyways, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. In the meantime, libertytalk.fm, and download the show. The Bubba Show every day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we will see you back here tomorrow. Thank you so much. We'll see you later. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Goodbye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.